Good evening, everybody. Hello and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 133. On this week's show, we have Avengers Infinity War review and spoiler discussion. To my left, as always, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Joining us via the Skype from the Main Street Gazette is Ryan Wilson. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
From the Disney Magic Hour as well, in the Windy Tundra, I'm going to still keep saying it, is Courtney Van Ren. Say hello, Courtney.
Hello, Courtney.
And from the Film Basement and Parts Unknown is Adam Corbett. Say hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by MEI Travel for all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise. Spoiler, I can't make any jokes about this because it might ruin something of the movie. Visit the experts over at MEI-travel.com, where Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. Right now, you're listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/PogoMix. His website is PogoMix.net. We are LastGenPodcast.com. That's LASTGEN podcast.com. You can find us on Twitter for this show at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's DIS Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, we're Disney Magic Hour. Just search for us if you're already in there and your friends. You can find this show on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And Melissa, there are the pictures in the Patreon. Where can everyone find that?
On Instagram, you can follow us at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And if you go to patreon.com/Disney Magic Hour, you can find ways to help support the show there.
Ryan, where can everyone find the Main Street Gazette?
The main site is mainstgazette.com. If you're looking for our Instagram or Twitter, it's mainstgazette. And if you search for Main Street Gazette on Facebook, you can find it there too.
Courtney, books, Disney Magic Hour. Tell me how that combines.
Well, if you go to Facebook, you can search DMH Book Club, and you'll find us over there reading a new book every month. Join us.
Very well. And Adam, everyone can find you lurking in the basement of the film, right?
You're correct, sir.
All right. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
All right. What energy. Love it. So, it is Sunday morning, the 29th of April, and we've all finally seen Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War. We'll talk about that title later on. And here we are to discuss it. Now, here's part of the issue. This is a really weird film to review without getting into spoilers. So we'll give you a non-spoiler version to hear very briefly at the top of the show. You know, we'll just go around the table. If everyone wanted to, like, maybe give it a grade or something, I don't know, something that we can kind of just make it a little easier for the listener to, or whoever you are out there, to take in our opinion. That'd be something, I guess. We can do it that way. And then we have to go into spoiler territory. You know, we have to have a discussion where we're not worried about saying the wrong thing at a certain time, because so much of it kind of, you know, rolls into each other. So, Melissa.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
What about you? Why don't we start with you? What were your thoughts on Infinity War? And I mean, it's kind of corny, but give it a grade if you could. Don't give it a curve, though. Like, don't give it like a Transformers curve. We're just going to grade straight. This is high school.
Okay. If I had to give it a grade, I would probably give it either a B+ or an A-. It would border there.
Okay.
Because there were a couple of things that I was like, about. But overall, I thought it was really good.
That's I'm right in line. I'm B+. I'm a B+ man right here. Got some of the easy questions wrong.
It would be like if I had to grade for grammar, but they told me I didn't have to grade for grammar. Like, it would get a B+, but like if I didn't grade for grammar.
That seems unfair to the student.
What?
A- is what, like 87 to 90? Is that what that is? Like in numerical? How does that even work?
It's still 90.
It's a 90.
Yeah, it's in the 90s.
That's weird, right? I thought an A+ was like 95 to 100.
I don't think they do A+'s is the thing.
Well, they're not plussing it up then. Yes. Courtney?
I'm going to go pretty much along the lines of what Melissa said. I'm leaning more toward A minus than B plus. I rather enjoyed it. So, yeah, I'm going toward the low A's on this one.
Ryan Wilson.
It's an A. I have things that I can critique, and they're fairly obvious things that I can critique, but overall, you know, it gets better with the viewings, is how I'll put it. Like, the more I watch it, there are more things that I enjoy in it.
I will say right now, I agree with that. The first time I saw it, it was a low B. It substantially increased on the second viewing because I changed my mindset on a couple of things. And I was like, okay, you know, what if we look at it this way? And that helped immensely. Mr. Adam Corbett, what about you, man?
I'm going to give us like Ryan, a solid A. I had a few nitpicky things, nothing, you know, out of the, you know, knock it out of an A territory, but yeah, solid A, 95, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what that means anymore now. I thought I understood grades. I don't. I don't know why.
Why would they change math?
You know, that's non-spoilery. That trailer got the best reaction out of all the trailers that were attached to this flick. That got the biggest guffaw. Is that how you say that?
No.
No? How do you say it?
Why would you guffaw at that?
Isn't that a laugh?
But not the way I think you want to use it.
It's more like sarcastic.
It means fire, Robert.
Yeah, I can guffaw at that. So I said it right, the word.
Yes, you said it right.
All right, Groot, do you want to put down your phone?
I was trying to look up the letter to number
thing. Oh, my God. Is it official? Is there an official thing for that? I feel like there should be.
There is, yeah.
What do we got? Tell me.
Well, like I said, they really don't use A plus anymore because that's like 100 plus.
So bunch of horse shit. Extra credit, baby.
You only do that in like elementary school.
Sure.
Got
to protect these kids from themselves.
Yeah. So like, yeah, an A would be like 94 to 100. So
can't we just call it like a Henry Winkler at this point?
No, because that's A.
Yeah, you get three or four A's and it sounds better.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
That's if you get the whole report card. If the whole report card is
hey, that's all right. Yeah, you get the stamp of the Fonz. Yeah. That's good, yeah. Actually.
Only if you bring it out that
It's got to be in like what's the word? Wax, like a wax stamp.
Yeah.
Of a shark jumping over a shark. Okay, so that's all right.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Good.
That's all you need to know about this movie, guys.
Got it.
All right, so... I mean, I feel like that's it. Like, we have to go into spoiler land, guys. Look, if you've been watching the Marvel Universe for the last 10 years, you've seen this, right? I mean, I know a lot of people have kids and not able to get out on the opening weekend, but go see it, without doubt. It's a no doubt you're going to enjoy it. I really do believe that. As, you know, we've alluded to, well, maybe more me than anyone else, there's some things that you can look at and go, well, huh. But the balancing act they do in this film is pretty good. It might be a little too overstuffed with people. This is not spoilery. I can do this, I think. I think it's maybe a little too many people and certain figures who should be very prominent in a film called The Avengers are either absent completely or barely there. Thanos was the big concern going into this film. I think pretty much everyone would agree with that, like who was, you know, really anticipating this. Like, how the hell do you make this guy interesting when he hasn't been very interesting for this buildup, and now he's got to be the most interesting villain? Like, they have to do that. Or they at least have to get close. Thanos is fantastic in this. Brolin makes Thanos into a character that I don't think the comics ever got to. And that's a hell of a feat. And that's also the writing. They also do smash-up jobs with Gamora. This is the most important Gamora. And it's just, she just has more to do. But it's important stuff to do. Doc Strange, I would also put as the third. Like, if we had to do 3 stars, like this is an NHL game. The 3 stars, you know, like the 3 stars of this... Doc Strange, Gamora, and Thanos. And that's cool to see. Yes, Mills. Sorry.
But it's like Thanos, like the goalie, because he's like the biggest.
Yeah, Thanos should be the goalie. He can move too. I mean, he's got mobility. So yeah, he should be like, if he was a defenseman, he'd just be killing people. Oh my God. There are, you know, some matchups in here that we've maybe never seen before that I think are pretty good. Does it have flying monkey syndrome, which I spoke of before? It does in a particular sequence. But to balance that off, the Black Order that you see in the trailer, they're very effective. So that's good. That's good. There's some other things that we absolutely cannot talk about. There is a thing of letting consequences stick that we're going to get into bigger discussion about that going forward. And actually, I wanted to ask everyone, just in general, before we go into spoilers, what was your feelings on, because I know I brought it up mainly, and a couple other people right in line with us, that the, you know, the fight action sequences in Black Panther were kind of unengaging. What did you feel about this one? I feel like it's more of a mixed pot, but there's a lot more in the positive than in the negative. Ryan, how did you feel? Oh, should we just go into spoiler land and start getting into that? Because then we got to talk about specifics, right? Okay, you know what? Sorry, guys. We're going into spoiler land. So into the spoiler land we go on Infinity War. If you haven't watched it yet, really don't listen, because there's a couple of really great surprises in this film. And I don't think that it's, well, I don't think almost 99% of them can be called cheap. Like, they're pretty good. They're pretty earned, and they make sense within the universe. So really don't read about it if you're interested in it. Go and see it. Have a good time. And, you know, come back to this mark, what, like 10 minutes in, you know, when you're done seeing it, okay? So off we go into spoiler land. So let's kind of just reset, guys. Well, let's just start talking about this. And I don't know, who wants to get started? This is a weird, you know, with five people, it's always kind of tough to do a film review. But I wanted to hear everyone's opinion. So should we save the ending for last, or should we just address that monkey in the room? Because that's obviously the thing that would be the biggest part of discussion.
No, let's go ahead and address that, I think.
Okay, good, because we can branch off from there, right? Okay, yeah. All right. So I guess this is my question to all of you, and then just, you know, whatever you want to talk about afterwards, just go with it. The ending, of course, now, again, if you're listening to this, you already saw the movie, please. The ending enacts Thanos winning, basically. In shorthand, Thanos wins. He snaps his fingers as he did in the comic, which was cool. It was a nice touch. Actually, like, three people snapped their fingers before this man snaps his fingers, which was kind of weird. Like, the first time I was like, cool. And then it happened again. I was like, all right, everyone's got the same idea. But he snaps his fingers. And then over the span of like the next like couple of minutes on screen, most of the people that we've been watching this whole movie disappear into ash. They just disappear. Did it impact you the way that the movie seems set out to have an impact with the music? It's very dramatic. It's supposed to be very somber. Did that moment hit you in that way, Courtney?
It was impactful for me. That's not necessarily, I think everyone else, maybe except for me in the universe, was expecting that to happen at the end of the movie. And I don't know that I necessarily was. I didn't know where it was going to end, but I didn't necessarily expect them to end it that way. So to actually see that and see all those people, I mean, everyone from all of the Guardians except for Rocket are just disappear into thin air. I mean, it was very impactful for me. The theater was silent. My feeling about it was that, you know, it's 100% reversible, but it was still impactful for me to watch these people. I mean, to start with Bucky just disappearing into thin air right in front of Cap was like, that was heartbreaking to me. I definitely felt impact from that for sure.
We'll obviously, there's so much to talk about. I think they left the right Guardian still there.
Yeah.
Has he not kind of emerged as like the heart of that team over, you know, the everything that happened in Volume 2? And then, you know, it's a good argument to have that the Thor Rocket team up was the best portion of this movie while we were moving along as a narrative.
Funny rabbit.
Funny rabbit.
Yeah, I agree.
And the pirate angel. Yeah.
And the pirate angel. Funny rabbit and pirate angel. I'm amazed there's not a t-shirt already that says that with those two characters on it.
There probably will be.
There probably will be, right? There's
Although
gotta be.
The Bucky Rocket scene was probably the best thing.
Well, that was also a nod. I mean, that was a direct nod to the first Guardians because he does that with Groot. Mm-hmm. There's a mirrored shot of that when he does it with Groot when they're spinning around in the jail cell, which yeah. I thought was kind of cool. Adam, same question that I posed to Ms. Van Rens. And thank you, Courtney. I wanted to go to you first because I was under the assumption that you weren't aware of what the ending would sort of probably be. So yeah. that's awesome to hear. Like that, without knowing it, it worked really well for you. That's very encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
Adam.
Okay. Well, being the huge comic book nerd that I am, I pretty much expected this as the ending. So I'm not gonna really say, oh, I was shocked by it. But I, from a filmmaking perspective, it was extremely effective because, as Courtney said, the audience was dead silent for that whole sequence. And I think it did its job in that respect. And I think the movie had to kind of end that way for the inevitable follow-up. So
you're Doctor Strange on this one. It's the way it had to happen.
It had to happen.
That's the most important line in the film.
It is.
I think, right? Is everyone in agreement with that? That's the most important line?
Yeah.
Because he knew.
Yep.
You know, he knew at that moment, like, you know, there's only one, you know, how many do we win? Only one. And he knew that, like, this was the way it had to go. Ryan, towards you.
So I'm going to give the twofold answer. Having the story, knowing the story the way I do, this is where I expected it to go. I actually expected it to end with the snap and you not know who was there and who wasn't there. The key for me was not knowing who it was going to be. Like Strange being one of them that evaporated was a little bit of a shock to me because I didn't expect that to be one. Now, I didn't preface my wife on this because she doesn't know the comics. She doesn't know the story. And literally, it's every favorite character she has was vanishing one by one. But she was openly sobbing next to me. And even after it was over, she was like, those are all reversible, right? She's like, those are – and I'm like, yes, those are the ones that are reversible. There are others that happened before this that I don't know. Some of them can be. Some of them can't be depending on how they play the next one. Yeah. But those are the ones that could have consequence for us. But in that moment, it was. The theater was silent. The guy to my right after, like, when they went to credits was literally throwing his arms up in the air, like, like screaming. Like, so I think for people who don't know the source material, this was it was effective. The way they handled the emotion, the music, the silence, in between. I think for anyone who knows the source material, it was handled in a way that respected the source material and you were like, that is how I would want to see it play.
You bring up Strange being one of the ones that disappear. I think he's the one that needed to, because if anyone can do some stuff on the other side that aids the work of the return, you've got to have Strange in that realm. Made sense to me in a way of looking at it forward. There was a yesterday when I was watching it, there's a kid next to me. During that scene, his leg was he was shaking his leg, which he didn't do the entire movie. He was shaking his leg so violently that it was shaking my chair. And I actually had to lean over. I was like, can you stop? And he's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it. And I was like, it's okay. But he was really in that moment. I don't know what got a bigger gasp. The ending definitely got a gasp, but when someone revealed themselves from a hood, that really got a hell of a response. Melissa, so you didn't know where this would go at the end also, correct?
No, I don't know the source material.
Okay, so then how about you?
I don't know. I think I'm kind of going to flip Ryan's theory on its head because I don't know the source material. As just, I know Marvel itself, but I don't know this storyline. So I know that Marvel gets weird and Marvel always resets its crap and stuff. So like that, I, whatever. But
DC is doing their best to retake that mantle of reboots every 3 seconds. Yeah. But yes, but yes, if anyone has the long-standing crown, it's Marvel.
It's Marvel, yeah.
Chris Claremont sits atop that mountain like a god. He's just, you know.
So I didn't know specifically what was meant, you know, what was going to happen. But for me, I don't know. I sat there kind of like, shocked that certain people were leaving. And I think I was more just watching like, okay, why this person? It didn't really get me because I guess I know, you know, the whole thing with the stones, like, yeah, these things can be, you know, undone. So I wasn't like, okay, he's definitely gone. And I don't know, I guess I was more like, who are they going to bring back and who are they not? Really was going to just was like while I was watching and I was like, okay, you know, does all this come back? Do we go to, you know, do we go back to the beginning? Do we go back to just the ash? So I don't know. I don't know. It didn't affect me as much.
Yes, Ryan. And then Courtney.
So one of the things I found interesting, and I was literally making lists when I walked out of the theater of who was gone, which where did you die? Did you die at the end or did you die here? And who was left? And short of Hawkeye, because we have no Hawkeye to know of at this moment.
We're back to step one.
Mm-hmm. We're back to the original Avengers, right? Yeah. They kept all the original six are technically still there, and I thought that was a really interesting shift.
When I realized, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I think that's, like, at the end of the movie when Pete and I were talking, I was like, well, that's what they did. They left the original because that's what you're going to do in the second one. You're going to have the original together and trying to, I don't know, find Thanos because I don't really know where he is.
Thanos is in Malibu. He don't give a shit about nothing. He's just like...
With his armor scarecrow, which was such a great little mod to have.
I love that the final literal final shot was the literal final shot in the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it.
Courtney, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think that another reason why it was so impactful for me was because I feel like it was kind of foreshadowing, like the fact that we had the originals left, we know that we're not going to have them anymore soon. So it kind of was a dichotomy between losing all these people who presumably are going to come back, but we're going to lose that core group. That core group's not going to be necessarily the center of the MCU anymore going forward.
But like for me, that like misses in a way because like Bucky's gone. But like if Cap dies, like I want Bucky there when Cap dies. Like I don't know if they do that, but like he's got to be, right? Yeah, because that makes that more impactful. Like Bucky leaving was impactful, but like if Cap dies and Bucky's there to see it, like that's really the soul crushing part.
So, okay. Oh, wow. So much to talk about with this. Okay. So there are two ways of approaching this, and I think we've already hit them both. And I'll just kind of summarize it. On one hand, you kind of know it doesn't matter. Nearly everything, if not everything, is going to be reversed by the conclusion of the finale, right? I don't buy for a second that Loki's dead either. And the reason I'll give you that is on the second viewing, I noticed when I first saw it that he kind of appeared out of the shadows when he approached Thanos for that unbelievably, like, I'm going to just get murdered moment, which doesn't seem like Loki. Like, that seems like Loki being Loki, not Loki making smart decisions like Loki normally does. I will have to watch it again. And please, when you see it again, let me know. I'm almost 100% positive that you hear the noise that happens when he makes a duplicate.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't even know that noise. It's tough to hear it amongst like the space, you know, rattle and all that stuff that's going on. But I'm almost 100% sure he did that. There is zero reason that he would go up there. It didn't make any sense because there's no way that he just watched Thanos physically beat up and then body slam the Hulk, almost kill Thor with just the ring to his head and think, I'm going to be able to get this knife on him. If they made Loki that stupid in his final moments, it kind of doesn't seem like the cunning Loki that we've seen before. Because I do not think he's dead.
Well, that was my whole thing. Like, when he first approached Thanos with the... Or when he, like, whatever, brought up the Tesseract, like, I thought, because he even says, like, I'm not Asgardian, so, like, I thought it was going to be, like, an ice box or something like that he made from his, you know, whatever he is, frost giant.
Frost giant hands. So,
like, yeah, but I thought when Loki would make duplicates of himself, they weren't physical. Like, they were all incorporeal.
Not
like,
when you watch the end of Thor Dark World.
Which scene?
True, right.
He's holding him in his arms. I had to go back and check it. I did. Because that's exactly what I thought. Because they play that joke in Ragnarok. But in Thor the Dark World, he's literally holding him in his arms as he dies.
Yeah, but I think that was him, but I don't think that was supposed to be a duplicate. I think he's like, oh, I made it more worse than it really was, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know.
I think it's easily said, like, I just upgraded the spell. If he died with that method, that he was just like, I'm going to stab this guy because obviously we're not going to be able to stop him. Does that sound very Loki to you? Does that sound like a good way for that character to go?
No, because he also said, like, I'm the god of mischief. I'm sorry to cut you
off. Yeah, he said it in a very mischievous way, too.
And then, like, later on in the movie, Thor does say, like, oh, he's been dead before. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. It does kind of leave you like,
I don't know. Ryan, what do you think?
I think I can go either way on it. I think he could be dead. If you needed that for the story, it's not the best way to send him out.
It's not.
But if Tom Hiddleston's moving on, like if this is the end of that for him, I could see him being dead. I can also see them, you know, even if he decides he wants to come back in 5 years and then be like, oh no, that, yeah, I just upgraded the spell. Like, I think they've left themselves the door there one way or the other.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like a really dumb way to kill off Loki. Like the end that Gamora comes to is a good end, even though I don't think that's permanent either.
No, I don't either.
But then what is any of this? Then that's where my issue comes in. If nothing ever has a consequence that they're willing to stick with, which is comic books though, and that's like the other half of my brain is like, well, that's comic books. Death is meaningless. And so death in comic book movies is meaningless as well, which is, I guess, fine because I accept it in comic books. I don't know why the medium changes for me where I'm like, well, this one should matter a little more. But it does in my head. But the Gamora thing is like, well, I mean, they're making more Guardians films. I mean, of course they can have it without Gamora, you know, maybe they could go forward without
Nebula
Gamora.
Nebula becomes a better part of it. Cause
yeah, maybe Nebula's role expands, you know, that's totally fine with me, but I just don't see that happening.
But like the other thing, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just think Gamora's role, I think she's going to be taking over the Adam Warlock position. She's going to be part of the Soul Stone. And I think it's going to be an integral part of the next movie. I think that's almost not spoiling anything because it's just my opinion, but that's how Thanos is going to lose his gauntlet. She's part of the Soul Stone.
Is everyone part of the Soul Stone now? Are they all in that little pocket universe? You know, are we basically playing Lost in reverse?
No, I don't think so. I think it is her. I think that the glimpse you got of the young version of her talking to him in the orange, you know, that orangish sky kind of thing. You're in the Soul Stone there, and she's just beginning to build her world in there. I think she is in the Soul Stone. I think Adam's right. It's going to be like the Warlock kind of a piece. But I think it's just her. I think everyone else is off the table until such time as they are able to reverse things.
I have heard a theory that we watched the reverse of what really happened, and the people who stayed are the ones who are really dead. There's an idea to that, and I'm like, that's pretty interesting. But that also means that they killed Captain Marvel without her even being on screen.
Right.
So that's the part where I get tripped up on that. So back to what I was saying, you know, there's a part of it where you can look at it and go, well, none of this really matters. On the other hand, the really fun part that I'm now like, okay, I want to see where this goes is how do they fix this? You know, that's now the thing that I care about. Like, cause I honestly wasn't affected by the turning to dust thing at the end. And it's not because, like, I didn't allow myself to be in the moment. I've seen that as an excuse online also. It had nothing to do with that because the two disappearances, whatever you want to call it, that did affect me was actually Drax was one of them. And I think everyone would agree Spider-Man had the biggest moment in that play. which makes sense because Marvel loves their father-son thing, and that's, you know, that was our father-son in this movie. It also brings up one of the problems that I have with the movie, but that's a bigger problem with just Spider-Man right now. So yeah, the bigger question is like, how do they fix this? And that I'm really, really excited to see, but I'm also really excited because we're back to our Avengers and I kind of want an Avengers movie. I don't want a crossover movie on the next one. I know everyone's going to come back at one point and kick the shit out of Thanos in one big group. I know that's going to happen, or at least I assume it will happen, but I really want an Avengers movie. But now this Avengers movie is going to co-star the most powerful person in the universe with Captain Marvel, right?
Well, I think like that's like the big thing for this movie. Like it set up how powerful Thanos is with the gauntlet, and yeah. Like he didn't even have all the powers until the very end. So like, yeah, we saw, you know, Hulk take him on for a little bit before getting pummeled. We saw Thor take him on and do a fairly, you know, decent job of injuring him.
Aim for the wrong head. Should aim for the head.
So it's like we have certain things, and even Cap, you know, gave him some resistance. So in pieces, everybody kind of gave Thanos a little pushback. So now that Thanos is super powerful, now if you have everybody together with all their powers, maybe that then makes them defeating him believable, but also like knowing that you need all those people together to defeat him, you know?
Yeah. So Adam, you're a big Superman fan. And you know, I know that as Superman fans, there's something that always happens with Superman in the big events. He's neutralized.
Yeah.
Because he's Superman. And you can't have Superman being Superman because he should just be able to end things immediately. So Marvel's going to show up in this. And she is, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment that Superman is the Captain Marvel of Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah, right? That's definitely accurate.
Captain Marvel's is Superman.
That's what, yeah. I said it in reverse, but. So what happens here? Is Captain Marvel neutralized or does she overshadow the Avengers? And my emotional involvement right now, my investment in this, you know, the tagline is it's been 10 years, which really next year is really like it's been 11 years to this moment. Years. But anyways, it's been 10 years to this moment, but it will be dominated by a character we introduced 3 months ago. Like, I don't think that's a good way of going about that. But how do you think that they balance the power of Captain Marvel without just weakening her and making her kind of inept versus her being so powerful that the main moments aren't held by the people that we've been watching for a better part of a decade or a decade.
Yeah, I don't see that happening because Captain Marvel's powers are not totally like Superman's. Superman is more physical. He's got the flight.
Saying like power level.
Power level, yeah. But still, Thanos has the gauntlet. Like, she's pretty much a gnat. Even at his current power level, I think her role is going to be to kind of like a passing of the torch between the old and the new. I think that's, they're looking at her as the future of it. I don't think she's going to come in and just dominate everything. I don't think that would be very smart on Marvel's part to do that. The movie is going to set her up really nicely, and then she'll come in and, I don't know, maybe a last minute save kind of thing, or she'll be in there from the beginning. But I don't see that overshadowing the rest of the cast, no.
Wouldn't you think that Black Panther would be part of that torch pairing also? Or is he just in his, you know, because he's not going to be there?
Yeah, no, he's
gone. Yeah.
he's definitely integral also to the future of the MCU.
Do you think he's part of the Avengers in a couple of years? He's almost too popular not to have in there, right?
Yeah.
At this point, I mean, that's such a juggernaut of a character to not have him in your event, you know, series. That would be, I think fans would be pissed. But it makes sense for the character to not. But I guess really no, because he's trying to reverse all those old ideals of Wakanda, you know?
Yeah.
He's kind of wasted in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he really doesn't do anything. The whole thing in Wakanda, I thought wasn't very. The Thor part, I thought was phenomenal, but then we cut away from it. Like, as soon as he shows up, we cut away, and I was like, for Christ's sake, we just started getting like a big thing.
That just reminded me of like a Diablo, like playing Diablo 3. Like your wizard gets his lightning hammer going around him, and that was it. I was like, all right. He powered up.
Actually, you know, so let's talk about that scene in particular, if you guys wouldn't mind.
Which scene? Because all of that Thor stuff I thought was brilliant. Like,
No. The Thor stuff is great. I want to talk about the overall fight at Wakanda.
But, when he had to hold the star open. And that's great. And he was, like, backlit from
Yes, queen.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, no, he was phenomenal. Thor and you know, I should probably put Thor in that top three. There's four people in the top three, okay? The Battle of Wakanda, I don't know. It was okay. It was okay. I liked when Proxima Midnight, is that her name?
Yeah.
I liked that fight. Carrie Coon, I thought, was really good in the limited amount that she was like able to do. I thought she was really, really good because she's kind of phenomenal and everything. But the larger fight, the flying monkeys portion, if you will, that could have been like Helm's Deep in Marvel, and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but it just didn't really hit me. Maybe because all those things had no personality. Like they were just spider doggies or something like that.
Yeah.
But that scene in particular, like the Wakanda stuff, probably the stuff I was most interested, like, oh, what's gonna happen here? Not as much was as interesting as the other parts that were going on. I mean, Thanos threw a moon at Tony, so he threw a moon at him.
Yeah.
And then, like, fighting spider doggies was like, all right. You know, I don't know. Cap, Widow are barely in this movie. Hawkeye's not in it. Panther is barely in it. And those are pretty big things. I mean, I think holding Hawkeye is kind of on purpose and smart, you know? But how did everyone else, you know, let's just talk about the battle sequences in particular. What were the ones that you really enjoyed? Is there some that you didn't really get into? Courtney, being not an action person, you know?
Well, I actually liked the Wakanda scene. Okay. The reason I think I liked it was because we know that vibranium and the weapons that they create are potentially the strongest. So seeing Thanos' people come in and wipe everybody out, essentially, I think aided in, you know, making Thanos the big bad that we wanted him to be in the movie. So I was fine with it. And when Thor showed up in that scene, our whole theater burst into applause. Everybody was screaming.
That was massive. That was the hottest part of the film for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been in a theater. I haven't been in a theater when that happened in a really long time, where people actually cheered, and it was the whole theater, and it was like, it was very powerful. And then I loved the part in that scene specifically where I don't know the girl's name. The bad chick from Thanos. Proxima Midnight. Where she says, you're all alone, and then Widow and Okoye are there, and it's a badass chick fight.
Yeah.
I loved that. But yeah, I liked that scene. I didn't really have too many issues with it. I mean, spider doggies, yeah, it's like a bunch of orcs or whatever. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. So yeah, I didn't have too much of a problem with it though.
I thought they really let War Machine seem like a badass in that. Cause everyone was like, look, I threw a boomerang, you know, like, Sam like hit three people with triangle whatevers, but then like War Machine just clears out like 100 just, you know, from carpet bombing, you know, the very edges of it. Like he came off like a real badass in that particular sequence, more than he's been able to in other ones. So I was very happy to see Rhodey get a spotlight like that. I thought that was cool. I thought it was really, really cool.
I was also happy with the way like he addressed the whole Accords thing in the beginning, like when Cap comes back, when he's like, you know what? Like, all this political nonsense, it's nonsense. Like, when you need somebody to save you, like, you can't sit there and be all like, well, let's get everyone's approval for this to be okay and to do it. Like, it is. It's just silly. And, like, I'm glad that they showed him realizing that and just being like, yeah, okay, forget it. I'll, like, take my demotion or whatever. Like, I'm going
to court-martial.
Yeah, I'm going to be, like, on the good side, and I'm going to help this whole planet survive. And if you want to then punish me after that, talk to me then. Like,
and it just proves that Cap was right in Civil War. That's what that does. You know, there's a ton of great moments from that. I think Steve Rogers has one of the best funny lines of the movie when he's introduced to Groot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I am Steve Rogers. Like, that was just great. Even taps himself on the chest while he's saying it. As if, like, Groot was deaf. And, you know, he was, like, trying to partially... Like, the way someone who doesn't know sign language, they would think they would have to do that, you know? Or, like, if someone doesn't understand English, you hit yourself in the chest. You're like, I am Pete. Like, everyone's Tarzan suddenly. Yeah. Whenever, like, you know, like, whenever, like, in typically in movies and blah, 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 when you meet someone who's, you know, doesn't speak the same language, all of a sudden you're smashing yourself in the chest as you say your name like a caveman. Like, we just revert all the way back to that instinct. I don't know. So what do you, let's go over some, let's just do some pluses. All right. Cause there's so many pluses. Actually, no, let me get my negatives out of the way. Let me spiel my negatives. And I would love to hear your guys thing. You already heard about my Cap and Widow thing. Cap and Widow are barely in here. Yes. She has the moment approximate midnight, but they're barely here. And it's not an Avengers film as much as it's a Thanos film. That's not a bad thing though. I'm not upset with that. But it's that. Black Panther is kind of playing on this. Fixing Thor's eye 15 minutes after he put on an eye patch speaks a lot to, like, no, we can't let any consequences stick. Like, in the history of the Marvel films so far.
It was also frustrating because, like, you assume that it's some type of mechanical eye because it does, like, look like it, like, adjusts.
It's a different color and all that, too.
Yeah, like, yeah. So you would think, like, it would, like, give him some other, like, unique ability, and we never get a payoff. Well, like,
no,
I don't know.
I don't think he needs any more abilities.
No, but I'm saying, like, the way that it was presented, like, it wasn't just, like, here, I'll fix you. Like, I thought it would just do something else, or, like, he'd be, like, I don't know.
You want Mad-Eye Thorman?
Sure.
Mad-Eye Thordy.
Sure.
Is that how that works? No. Mad-Thor Moody. Yes. No, I need the eye in there, don't we, though?
Thor Eye Moody.
Thor Eye Moody. All right. Okay. There we go. Thank you, Courtney. Groot sucks in this movie, except for him making a handle. I thought they played that joke way too long. Like, get it? Kids look at their phone a lot. It's like, yeah, we know. Can we have Groot back, please?
I think we got him back, though, after that. Like, he finally, I think it
and then
took,
he turned to dust.
Well. But
son of a bitch.
It took, like, just like it takes kids to see the consequences, like, after, you know, a bit. And, like, yeah, this is, we got it that this isn't really Groot. This is what, like, his son or something like that. I've seen that. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah, this is his son. Yeah. Groot literally dies. Yeah. Original Groot is dead. Yes.
He doesn't remember, like, what he was or what these people mean to him. So, like, all of that emotional ties, like, if this thing already had all those emotional ties, it might be weird. So, yeah, like, for him to, like, develop his own ties to these people and then to be like, no, you know, I want to be special. Like, these people need help. This is how I'm going to help them. Like, I don't know.
All right. I would have liked it to just be more than, you know, 20 seconds of him doing that instead of legitimately looking at the handheld thing. Like,
didn't think he had much more to do.
I know, but then maybe we don't need that many pit characters in the film. Wow. Like, if you have characters standing around just to do stuff like that, maybe that's kind of indicative of...
But then you get
what comic books have learned for many years and don't care is that crossover events are very hard and people get lost in the shuffle, you know?
But then you get one of the best, like, oh, I took Groot in school.
What?
When Thor, like, knew Groot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. That was really fun, yeah. He was an ambassador. The low voice thing was really good with Quill. Even though Quill is kind of a dick in this movie, he's really dumb. Like, that thing with interfering and basically letting the movie continue, which obviously the movie wasn't going to end 45 minutes into it. Like, that wasn't going to be the end of it. But he comes off real bad in that moment. Yes, Courtney?
I think that there's an issue with the fact that you have Iron Man, Doc Strange, and Star-Lord in this movie, who are all very similar personality-wise.
Mm.
And I didn't have an issue with Doc Strange and Iron Man because Benedict Cumberbatch is a good actor and he could figure out how to make the subtleties.
Yes.
Chris Pratt could not.
Yes. Yeah, he's the third that's too much and it doesn't mix.
Well, and he just took it to douchebag side.
Yeah.
Instead of other subtleties. He's just not a skilled enough actor to find other subtleties. And I love Chris Pratt, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but he comes off very badly in this movie. Even like and even in the scenes without him, when Gamora is like, make me a promise, he tries to like crack really dumb jokes like three times. And I feel like at this point, Quill wouldn't do that with Gamora. Like, he would listen immediately. Or at least after, like, one little thing. But I don't know. He didn't come off as well as I would wish him to be in this one. And I think maybe you nailed it on the head. It's because, yeah, like, Cumberbatch and Robert Downey Jr., they were able to find a difference in the way they delivered their stuff where I felt that it had its own voice. Ryan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think some of that also is not. I don't want to put it on the writers, but the writers were like, okay, we have very similar characters, and I think that's one of the reasons that maybe we see him his exit with the vanishing at the end was we have these very similar characters. We can't keep. It was almost like they couldn't keep them straight. So like, if we get rid of one, it'll strengthen the way we're able to write the others, which we got rid of Cumberbatch too. So, but it strengthens back Tony to the core of that kind of persona. I think it was similar with, you know, and also to get rid of some of the jokes. That's a, you know, Peter Quill is still, you know, joke central. Spider-Man, for all intents and purposes, is, you know, that pun kind of jokey, I need to talk central. And it's like, okay, in the next one, we need to be serious for a little while. And I think maybe there's a reason some of those characters were taken out of play for some of this.
Yeah, okay. I can see that as well. That makes sense. That adds up. Yeah, more of our grounded folk are the ones who are left, you know? That definitely adds up. Where's Valkyrie?
With Loki.
Okay. On the other half of the ship.
The other half of the ship, yeah.
Okay. All right. She better.
I had to say, I was she watching better have that a spot
in the next film.
Yeah. I was watching for her and Korg, but they said that, you know, he destroyed half my ship. And I went, okay, so there's another half somewhere where people got away. Got
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Because I think he also says, like, you destroyed half the population or something like that. Yeah. Like, yeah, he does mention not everybody is dead. And I don't know, maybe that's where Loki escaped to.
Yeah, I didn't catch that the first time around, but when I saw it the other day, I was like, oh, okay, so they're,
you know. Okay. Because don't be killing Meek, you know, like, off, like, don't do that. We just found out he's not dead.
So let's talk about off screen, though, for just one second.
Yes, of course.
I get we had a lot of sets, I get we had a lot of things, but does Thanos acquiring his first stone not seem like a moment people would have wanted on screen? Like, does that not seem like we missed a giant piece of this puzzle?
Look, and you don't even have to do much. Just have his ship land and step out of the damn ship. That's it. Yeah. When he showed up with one gem already, I was like, the hell did they skip over the start of the story? Yeah. Like, that's kind of crazy. It's a long movie, I get it, but you could have done that in 30 seconds. I don't know. Did that bother you, Melissa?
No, because honestly, I loved the opening where you hear the distress from Asgard, you know, the Asgardian ship. So, like, if you had opened with Thanos destroying Novacorps and getting that stone, I think it takes away from that cold, dead silence and then just the radio transmission. I think that is more – that was more effective for me than the ending. Quite honestly.
Then how about this? How about, well, no, he needs it because that's the only way he can overpower.
Yeah.
The Hulk.
Yeah, it's the only way Hulk he can overpower the Hulk.
Yeah. I know. That was 90% of my issue with the movie was that opening.
It's a lot of percentage.
Like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was, though, like, because, like, Xandar was really well established, you know, in Guardians and this and that. And I need to know if John C. Reilly's okay.
He's not. No. Okay, I had two things. First, we already knew that Novacorps was not going to be very well guarded because
we talked about it last week.
So, like, that
called that, yeah.
Like, that's fine. But then, like, two, somebody refresh because I don't remember when Thanos gets the gauntlet in that end stinger of whatever movie. Where was it when he picks up the gauntlet and says, "I'm going to do it myself"?
I thought that was.
It's on his ship. He has it in his wherever.
Yeah, he already took it from Dwarf Star Place.
Okay, he had it on his ship.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I couldn't remember where he picked up the gauntlet from, and then I know we saw like where it was made, but I was trying to figure out like who had the gauntlet all this time. But okay, he just had it in his ship. Okay,
I tell you, man.
You know what? Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
We in this movie, they're not afraid of flashbacks. We get flashbacks in this movie. So we could have started with Asgard, and then at some point, have tied it into a flashback of, here he is on, here he is getting the first stone. Like, just because I think that's one of the pieces that makes this movie slightly less accessible to people who have never, if you haven't been watching these movies, like you come in, you're like, wait, I've already missed something. I don't understand where we're going.
That's true. That's true. All right, guys, you're all going to hate me for this, but I don't care. No one refers to aliens as Remember That Old Movie. No one who watches movies and is a geek says that. No one.
But that old movie.
Yeah. Hey, guys, did you know that Spider-Man's young? Because I'm going to remind you for the next 45 minutes of this movie, just like they did in the Spider-Man movie.
But they did that with other things in this movie. They made Loki do the We Have a Hulk line, too. It was just a couple of callbacks that they did.
It's yeah, but
I know that was like the most
that's
recent
not,
one.
I'm not so talking about like the callback of the line. I'm talking about we get it. Spider-Man's young. Can we stop bringing it up so much? Because they did that to him the whole time in Civil War.
Yeah.
They did it the whole time.
They even used that
in
exact line.
Yeah, they did it to him the whole time. I'm not talking about the line itself. The line itself is dumb. Like, just say, do you remember aliens? Even though more it's like alien, that particular thing that they do. But whatever. It's just that talking to him like he's a kid, I get it. I get that he's young. But if you continually feel that way, don't give him iron armor and all this other stuff because it doesn't match up. Just stop reminding me that he's young. I know he's young. I don't care. Do we have to constantly talk about how Iron Man's old?
But I think that's a good...
He doesn't look old, though. He looks phenomenal.
I think that's a thing, though. I think that speaks to a larger just societal thing. Because you do get a lot of people who are like, oh, you're young. I'm dismissing your viewpoint. Where it's like, oh, but you're young, but you can get stuff done. Or you do stuff. Or you are smart, even though you're young. So, like, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's fine. Also, I don't remember all the old movies like that. Not just
the thing is, no one says that. No one would say that. No one who knows the who's like a big movie nerd.
It would have been like, you remember Aliens? Like, that's it.
That's all you have to say.
Okay, but like, let's take a better movie than Aliens, because Alien was around when you guys were alive, right?
79 was Alien?
No.
Aliens was 86. Alien was 79? Is that right?
79.
77?
77. No, wait.
All right, so in the 70, 80 range.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, so yeah, I'll keep going.
Why don't we pick an older movie?
So
is that what you're going to say? Yeah.
So like, if you went back and said, oh, do you remember that old movie Casablanca? Like,
no, I've never heard anyone say that, quite honestly. I just
okay, then you're talking to
have.
The weird people because...
Yes, everyone I talk to is weird.
Well, yes.
That's 100% accurate.
This is the reality of it, though. Like... He's a kid. To him, that movie would be really old.
Yes.
And I was a kid, too.
I'm not saying that I was a kid. I know. And I'm not saying that it's terribly well written, but he's a kid and that movie would be really old to him. So it would potentially be something that might come out of his mouth.
Yeah. Because
It just sounds weird.
We would say that old movie, Strangers on a Train. Like, yeah.
I would never know. That's the thing. Like,
So the counterpoint to this is actually done in the movie, and we get it, and it's more intuitive where they talk about Footloose. They don't talk about it as an old movie. They talk about like, oh, the greatest movie. It never was the greatest movie. Like,
yeah.
The conversation about the movie that's more in that flows more naturally than my idea is from this really old movie. Like it's just in the vernacular. It's in the flow. It's, we don't need to keep getting the joke. Hopefully that was the last one of those. Because
Tony Stark himself was like, enough with the pop culture references. And I really hope that like that was the writer saying like, okay, we've had fun with this. Let's stop this.
But I thought when him and Peter Quill went at it, I thought it was fun.
No, that's the thing. But it's done in such a better way. Also, it's a really interesting like little editing thing that you don't see Parker's face when he says, it was never the best movie. But it really works. Because he just, that he just sort of says it under his breath. Like he doesn't really want to say it out loud, but it really worked to cut away from him. I think you only see like the back of his head. But anyways.
You get the reaction from Peter Quill, like, how dare you say that?
Yeah, but that was the thing about that particular scene was in both viewings that I saw it, everybody laughed at it, but I couldn't quite hear the Flash Gordon follow-up to that.
Yeah, no, that happened a couple of times. On big laughs, I missed the next line. That happened on the second viewing, too. There was also, Melissa, remember at the end of the movie when Cap is on the ground, after everyone disappeared?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All he says is, my God.
Oh, okay.
We had no idea what he said. There's a lot of lines at the end of the film that's very, very, very low, and we didn't catch a number of them. And one of them in particular was that slow pull in on Cap, and he says something, and I turned to him. I was like, I don't know what he just said.
Yeah, because then it like cuts away from him afterwards to another scene. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. So all he said was, "My God." Yeah, I was really intent on figuring out what that was. So, anyways, those are my nitpicky stuff because whatever, I can criticize. It's fine because there's so many pluses. There's a lot of pluses. Ryan, what would be your biggest plus of this movie?
The threads that they pick up, the things that we had forgotten that they have gone back to pick up. Not the least of which was Red Skull, and throwing Red Skull in from, you know, and I immediately came home and said, wait, how was that dealt with at the end of First Avenger? Did I forget how that was dealt with? And it is, we think he's just melted Indiana Jones style, but he's not. He is teleported across the galaxy to basically sit there and wait on this, you know, whoever's going to come claim the Soul Stone. And it was just that was like such a moment. I would like, you know, I literally like grabbed my wife's leg and was like, you know, holy shit.
Yeah,
like,
I that mean, was like, big.
The pure emotion that came out of me, I was like, we've got him back. So like, you know, yes, we, you know, Hugo, it's not Hugo Weaving.
It's not Hugo Weaving. Thank God, because I just said last week we would never get him back.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's not Hugo Weaving, but we have solved the problem of, you know, arguably one of the larger villains in Marvel still is out there somewhere, still is, you know, waiting for another story.
Now, do you guys think his job was to, you know, to basically be the usher or whatever?
The Stonekeeper, yeah.
All right, well, he doesn't need that job anymore. So is he let go of that responsibility and he comes back in some way? I don't know, maybe, you know? If there's no job to fill anymore because the Soul Stone isn't there, then what do you need? He seems really chilled out, though.
He's been by himself. He's been able to develop a cosmic knowledge, and he's just been like building that. I mean, he could do whatever he wants with it at this point.
Melissa, what was your biggest plus from the movie? Or a handful, you know?
I really liked when Doc Strange like took on Thanos for like, you know, that hot second, and like he, you know, kind of showed a lot more of his power that he hadn't been able to show. So that was really, really fun. And I like the humor. I thought the humor was really well done throughout most of the film. You had little stingers, you had, you know, very heavy moments, but then you also had a lot of brevity. And I really liked the lightheartedness, especially Thor.
Thor's the best. Courtney, how about you?
Oh, my favorite was when they talked about that really old movie Aliens.
I don't remember it. I wasn't born.
In all seriousness, I loved the Doc Strange portion of this movie. I think that we kind of talked about that already, but that's the most important piece going forward, because he's the one who knows the one possibility that's going to result in them beating Thanos. And I have, you know, some thoughts and theories about why he gave up the Time Stone when he did and allowed to, so that Iron Man lived. I think maybe, I know, Pete, you really want it to be Captain America who does the ultimate sacrifice.
I think both could go.
Yeah, I think it has to be because I haven't read the comic book, so I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't.
It has nothing to do.
Yeah, Ryan was shaking his head, but it has nothing to do with the comic books. I still think it's really, it's Cap's thing to do, but.
I mean, I think that just for me, the way that played out, the fact that he gave up the Time Stone to save Tony's life, he has to know that Tony is a part of how they defeat Thanos in the end. Mm-hmm. So he's a big part of that. Maybe Tony is a sacrifice in beating Thanos. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, maybe this is all obvious to you guys because I haven't read the comic books. But
I don't think it has anything to do with the comic books. What I'm telling you right now. You could read the book right now.
Courtney, read the wiki. You will be so confused. I've done that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It doesn't help.
They're using it as the structural thing, as a thing that you can then be like, hey, look, these books are on sale. Buy these. Which actually, if you're a Marvel Unlimited subscriber, you can read the Infinity Gauntlet and the newer one, Infinity, which I really liked. If you like Doc Strange, you should read Infinity. The one that just happened a couple of years ago by John Hickman. You get a phenomenal Doc Strange in there. Ryan, I'm sorry, you had something?
No, I was just shaking my head because of the whole, I was saying they're miles apart.
Yeah.
If only on, you know, another plus, if only on not if only on, but one of the major things is, you know, Thanos is driving force here. He has an act, you know, he has his thought process. He has this thing. He's not just trying to court the character of death. Like, making that shift was one of the smarter things that they could have done. Yes, I know we all want Hela back. I understand that. Yeah, I understand that nugget.
Like, it's totally clear that no one cares about Ragnarok, I guess, in the Russo camp.
Or.
Because they undid that, you know, they undid the eye already, yeah, and Valkyrie wasn't even seen. And, you know, I don't know. That was a little. Him getting his eye back so quickly was a little disappointing.
It was, because I liked the eye patch. But
he looked really awesome.
He did. What if we do get Hela back because she's like, you just made all these people die and I didn't want them to die. And now you're taking over my role.
Is that what she is, though? Is she Hades? I don't think that she rules like in...
No, but she deals death.
She does. I don't think she'd go against Thor, Thanos, though.
Why not? That would be fun.
It would be fun. That's a comic book issue. That's the thing. That's a comic issue. Like Hela, Thor, like that. I'd buy that comic tomorrow.
Within the Thanos stuff, though, I think there is something that I think it's in such a powerful moment that we miss it, is that when he is acquiring the Soul Stone, he says, "I ignored my destiny once before."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't tell me that nugget was just placed there, like, to not be followed through on the next one. Like, don't tell me that there's not something we're coming back to on that.
I would like to learn about, because when he said that, I was like, what do you got there?
I literally kept repeating it to myself for like 10 minutes so I wouldn't forget to write that line down when I walked out of the
show
theater.
That he was with death at one point and he wouldn't kill death.
Well, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the Captain Marvel movie, but she's the only one that's going back in time.
Gonna go back in time.
I don't know. I thought he was referring to Gamora in that speech about destiny. You know, maybe like taking her in and maybe having feelings, you know, the feelings needed for the sacrifice later. But I don't know. It just, I always, both times I was like, oh, is he talking about Gamora? You know,
I think he would have said that.
There's a lot of questions there is what it is.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions to be answered there. Adam, what were your big pluses?
Well, of course, the final, you know, assembly of the gauntlet was dream come true. Thank you, 20-something years. but that team Iron Man Guardians fight with Thanos was amazing.
That was really, really good.
They had that glove off him, and it's just, you could see it, I even noticed it more in the second viewing. He's holding the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, Spider-Man has it ripped off practically, and... you know, future Spider-Man filmmakers, look back at this movie to see how to film Spider-Man doing stuff, because Homecoming, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a funny fight. You know, guys, remember that joke from Ragnarok when Loki's like, I've been falling for 30 minutes. So he throws the moon at everyone and Spider-Man goes around and, like, captures Mantis. Mm-hmm. And then we go back like 5 minutes later and he's still swinging Mantis around. And all I could imagine was Mantis like, I've been swinging for 30 minutes! Like, just going through the wreckage.
Well, because then he was Mantis, also juggling the other ones.
How about this, Mantis? Don't say everything. Maybe just keep some thoughts to yourself when you're reading the mind of a madman. You don't have to announce all the things that are going to maybe put someone in a bad emotional position. Jesus Christ. Just be quiet for a moment. My God.
That's how she gets it out.
I know. It was just like... Like, can you just be quiet for like 30 seconds? And then we don't have a movie. You know?
If Samula hadn't actually just put it on Front Street, it would have, you know, just like wait 10 seconds before you say it, Nebula. Like,
it's true. Nebula was the one who spilled the pot. Yeah.
Was anyone else bummed, though, about like
bummed
lack of Hulk? Like, I liked Banner in the Hulkbuster. Like,
I have
that was
a
cool
dumb theory.
I know. Is it the one you told me?
Yeah. Red Hulk. Green Hulk is afraid. Bring on Red Hulk. That's the only thing I thought of during that. I was like, maybe Green Hulk's not ready to come out. Maybe we need the angrier. But I think the idea is that Hulk is afraid.
Yeah.
Because he got wiped with Thanos and it's never happened. You remember, like, even in Ragnarok, where, like, he would have lost the fight if it wasn't for Jeff Goldblum. I'm going to hit this button and stop you. No, it's Jeff Goldblum. Everyone, just wanted you to know. You know, in that moment, you know, he's even like, you know, I win. You know, like he can't admit that he ever like possibly lost something. So I think he's scared. I think he's scared to come out. But I did think, I was like, man, Red Hulk would be something, huh? I don't think they'll go there, but Red Hulk.
No, they might. I mean, but
maybe they will. I don't know. Yeah.
It would bother me the sense because it's not Banner. You know, like in the comics, Red Hulk is not Banner.
Yeah, it's not Banner, but
yeah.
Red Hulk.
You get Gray Hulk.
Gray Hulk. Gray Hulk. Smart Hulk. Yeah, that's more Banner. Gray Hulk is more Banner than Green Hulk.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the middle ground that they find. We know we get a smarter Hulk. Shit, I wouldn't mind that, especially if he has little glasses.
It's just like
if he has the glasses like that Batista has in Blade Runner, that would be the best. Thor and those Hulk in those glasses would be kind of incredible. For me, there's a ton of positive. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you know the one thing with Hulk too that was also aside how they decided to take him out because he's scared. Is he does get swung around by Thanos the same way he swung Loki and Thor.
Yep.
But they avoided the puny Hulk like comment.
Thank
like,
God.
It's just intrinsic to the I am too. I really appreciate that they did, but it was intrinsic to that how you know that swing. Like we've all seen that arc of a character before, like it swung like that. So I appreciate that they chose not to do that.
There's a lot of really great little moments in here, which like you just made me think of it. Like he says, you know, Thanos doesn't say that because he doesn't know that line, which is smart. But I do like when he says, when he acknowledges that he knows who Stark is. There was something really eerie about that moment. You know, he's like, you know me. He's like, I know you. And I just really liked that little exchange. It's those little exchanges that are the best parts of the movie. And throwing a moon at someone, that's pretty damn good. Throwing a moon at someone is, you gotta be pissed. That smile. Brolin is, I mean, without Brolin and without the screenwriters and everyone understanding like how Thanos works in this thing, this movie is nothing. It absolutely is just nothing. And he's so damn good. He's so good in it. But is he just okay, so let's think of it in the context of this. So I actually missed the scarecrow, the armor scarecrow at the end. So the gauntlet's on it?
No, he has the gauntlet still, but
he still has a gauntlet, right?
His helmet, his shoulder pad, like his armor is on the scarecrow. It's off. So if you see him walking out of the house, like behind him, it's off to the right.
But at the end of the movie, and I forgot to look because when he's in the Soul Stone, he obviously doesn't have it on his hand. But at the end of the movie, when he's, you know, enjoying the sunset, does he still have it on his hand?
Yes.
He does. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Just want to make sure. But it's all beat up now.
Yeah.
Gotta get it resmithied.
You can't.
Yeah, he can just blink his eyes and it's fixed up anyway.
Right? That should be, right? You should be able to do that. Just do time gem on that thing. Oh, something I really loved. This was actually one of the things that on my second viewing, I was very, very impressed with. There are two occasions where if people made the hard decision faster, Thanos doesn't win. Mm-hmm. And that's the Gamora one, which you can say that the gun was already going to blow bubbles no matter what. But the second one, the more important one, I guess, really, and the ultimate at the end, is if Scarlet Witch doesn't have a discussion with Vision while he's telling her, like, you have to do this, you can argue that happens and maybe the time gem thing. I mean, he still would have used it, but it's the hesitation from the very beginning to do what Vision said they have to do. And that's exactly what Thanos would be willing to do to get his goal.
Yeah.
So I really liked that display of Thanos having the will to make that hard decision. Even though, like, it was a hard decision for him with Gamora, he does it. And without much hesitation. He takes it in. He takes a moment to understand what he has to do. And then he does it. And if Wanda was more willing to do, or even Cap was more willing to do the necessary sacrifice for the better of everyone, you stop Thanos. So now what I want to ask everyone is, do you agree with Thanos? Melissa?
What? Wait, in what way?
In the way that he feels to better universes.
I don't know if I can say I agree with that.
Ryan, like, oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't know you were dramatically pausing.
No, no, because it's just like he says, like, you know, like, yeah, you just take people away. It's indiscriminate. So it's not like, you know, only certain people are gone. But it's like, but then how do you know that that one person that was gone was not going to be like the next Tony Stark or something? Like, you don't know. So, like, what are you affecting by you are taking people out of an equation? Like, you know, because he didn't have the gauntlet to know, like, you know, he doesn't look like Doc Strange does to see down all the timelines. Like, and like, Doc Strange was only looking down that one timeline for that one fight's outcome. And there was what, how many?
14 million.
Yeah. So, like, to do that, like, and then you're wiping out half a population. What could that half population have done?
Kill the next Thanos.
Could have.
Could have. There's the argument, right? Ryan, do you agree with Thanos?
No, I see the argument, and that's what makes him an effective villain, is you can see the argument. You can understand the argument. The other side of that coin, though, is, you know, he's coming at this from a position of not of this is what he understands, this is what he knows. The argument is that you have control of basically the power of the universe. You can create more crops. You can create more places. You can create – you have the power to do things that you didn't before. It's not just that you know, that the glove gives you the power to kill. It gives you the power to create.
That's so, like, good. That's cool.
That's the other side of it that he never saw it from. He just saw it gave him his solution to the problem, not what other possible solutions there could have been.
Courtney, you're definitely okay with wiping out half the population, right?
I mean, obviously, I'm a very cruel person.
It'll make it a lot easier to get Hamilton tickets.
I mean, that's my priority in life.
Yeah.
Just ticks, hot ticks. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how anyone could agree with Thanos. I mean, I guess people that do. I will not elaborate on that. But no, I mean, you can't just choose to wipe out half of the population for any reason.
But what if it saved that population 10 years, 100 years down the line?
So, I mean, I don't want to get into the science behind that.
Science!
Like, that's what happens with populations over time. I mean, that's why we have plagues and stuff like that. The natural things come along and wipe people out. So that's what continues to save humanity. So you don't need a tyrant coming in and snapping his fingers and killing a bunch of people. I mean, that's not really, like, it's not the same. I mean, not that I want plagues to happen, but,
so you know, that's you're very pro-plague. That's what we've gotten.
I'm pro-plague, yeah. Anti-Thanos.
Adam Corbett, do you snap your fingers?
Well, the funny part is...
You bite your thumb, sir?
Yeah. I asked my girlfriend this exact same question when we were driving.
To murder you.
Yeah. Her response was, well, he's not wrong, you know? You know, I don't know. We can, you know, armchair quarterback this, but I see both sides to that. And I don't know, if I was in his position, I don't think I'd be making that decision. I'd be, you know, getting a whole bunch of cool stuff with that gauntlet.
More gauntlets. Yeah. I'm just going to create more gauntlets. This is a collectible gauntlet, but this is the real gauntlet, yeah. But I really want to display while having the real one. Yeah. So this is a fake one, but it's really cool.
Blaine-yo.
Also, there is that mold for another gauntlet.
There is, but he also, didn't he smash the mold for the Stormbreaker?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did, right? So maybe he smashed the mold for the Infinity Gauntlet afterwards. You know?
What do you mean?
Maybe he smashed it afterwards. Just like he smashed the mold.
2020 vision? Yeah. Realizing, oh, I can't have that? Yeah.
What?
No, because we saw, that's what, no, now I'm confused. Who, wait, first of all, pronouns. Who smashed the Infinity
The dwarf
Gauntlet?
Who plays a giant dwarf.
Smashed the Infinity Gauntlet mold?
No, if he, afterwards, because he smashed, you see him smash the mold
but
for.
But that's the thing, he smashes the mold for Stormbreaker to get the metal out, like, that's how you make those things.
Yeah.
So, like, but
I'm saying
had...
maybe afterwards he smashes the Infinity Gauntlet one also.
No, we don't
because,
see that.
Like, I know we don't see that, I didn't
so
say
then
we
I
did.
I don't think it's done.
Okay.
I think there's the possibility that something is out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm also pretty sure that if you were to take the Thanos one, that you can resize it at will. So, you know,
wait,
like, oh, look, it fits now.
I'm sorry. Stop saying, like, the whole thing of, like, oh, well, because you read the comic. I'm not basing any of this on the comic. I just don't think they would make a second Infinity Gauntlet. No, I'm, that's the thing. Like, we've said it 100 times almost on this episode.
Not just for this. It's not this one. Not just for this.
And
one,
I don't. There's.
General.
I've learned for many years that whatever's going on in the comic books has no effect with what goes on the screen. You know, Superman threw a fruit roll up at a man.
That happens.
Like, that's a thing that happens in a movie. That was a pretty good indication, and very young in my life, like, oh, okay, this is weird. Like, that's, you know. But I don't think they would just make it in second Infinity Gauntlet just because it would cheapen the effect of the first one. Unless Red Skull gets one. I'm okay with him getting one. I'm sure that'll work out great for everyone involved. But yeah, there's a ton of pluses in this, and it sets up a really... I don't know. They're not calling it a part two anymore, though, right?
No, they said they couldn't release the title because
it'll be a spoiler.
Yeah.
So what's the title? Everyone's Dead?
Yep.
Avengers, Everyone's Dead. The Endgame, Remains. Maybe. The Remains of the Day. Anthony Hopkins is in it.
So I will say real fast that...
Okay. No, go ahead, Ryan.
I will say real fast when Courtney had seen the movie before I could, and all I had asked was the title for four at the very end of it, like, you know, so-and-so will return at the end. And what I said was, you know, like, so, like, the Avengers die another day.
Yeah, I'm wondering what that title is. I guess it must allude to something, you know? Earth X. If it says Earth X, I'll tell you everyone right now.
I'll
kill everyone if it says Earth X out of happiness. Melissa, said there's something we should talk about? Yeah, I think so, too. What was it?
I think we should maybe just take account of who's left. I don't know if...
Who left?
Because there are, like, some tertiary characters that are still around.
Tertiary indeed. All right, let's see. Wong is alive. That's all that matters.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
That's a good point. If they dusted Wong and didn't show it, I'd be really pissed.
No, yeah, I thought he's just in the temple.
Yeah, he's just in the temple. He's cool. He's eating his tuna melt. Everything's fine.
I literally listed as who's alive, who's dead, and who are the maybes that we don't know.
Yeah, Wong is officially a maybe, but I would assume he's there.
I think he's there, yeah.
So Stark is there. Thor be there. Mm-hmm. Banner be there. Rogers is there. Natasha's there. James Rhodey's there. Oh, so the Avengers are alive. That's good. Strange. Wow, IMDb really put this in one hell of a listing, huh?
Yeah.
Like, this weird timing. Strange is gone. Spider-Man gone. T'Challa gone. Wakanda for nowhere. Oh. Gamora, I guess.
Technically.
Well, definitely, yeah. Gone. Nebula here.
She's here.
Loki gone as of now. Vision looked like the one death that would stick, but he's an android, so.
Yeah, he's an android, so.
Yeah, like that's what I'm like. Oh,
and
yeah,
like they kind of were talking. Computer. Did he integrate with Shuri's computer or something like that?
That's where I think, yeah. Like just enough got there. Yes, Courtney.
Heimdall will stick, I think.
I don't think Heimdall will stick, actually.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. You think
that they would bring back both Loki and Heimdall from that scene?
I think Loki is not dead because it's Loki.
If they bring back
Heimdall also, then don't ever expect me to care about a character dying ever.
That's why I think Heimdall will stay dead.
Yeah, I think he stays dead. Scarlet Witch is gone? She's gone.
Yeah.
Sam is gone. And that was a pretty interesting way that they did that with Sam disappearing and then Rhodes calling for him.
Yeah.
Bucky's gone. Thanks for coming back. Heimdall is dead. Okoye is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Eitri, I guess, is alive. I don't know. Wong, we don't know. Mantis, dust. Drax, dust. Groot, dust. Rocket, living. Pepper Potts, bitching and moaning. I really didn't like that they had her be the obnoxious wife on that one. Don't marry Iron Man then. Even though I know he's supposed to be retired, but like, I don't know. Pepper Potts is awesome. Leave her alone. The Collector? We don't know. The Collector is absolutely something we don't know. Because even though we see him, that's not the reality of what's happening. Yeah. Thanos, chilling out, having a lemonade. Star-Lord, in the corner and on dust. You better think about what you've been doing lately. Sean Gunn, the onset rocket, still in the game. Thank God. William Hurt. What a dick. I really liked his bullshit line with Rhodes. He's like, Rhodes, you have a greater knack for bullshit than even I. Mm. I was like, that's a good line. There's a fair amount of swearing in this movie.
Mm. Yeah.
Ebony Maw, very cold right now. I know. So he's gone. M'Baku lived, right? Survived, right? We see him at the end.
Yeah.
Kerry Condon. We don't really. That doesn't matter. Ned. I don't know if that is. Red Skull.
Biden's friend.
Red Skull. Maybe. I guess alive still. So that's really that's them.
Okay.
That's them.
And then Captain Marvel's around.
And Marvelous. Yeah.
Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah. And Ant-Man and Hawkeye are...
Are they?
Somewhere.
We don't know. I think Ant-Man and Wasp is a bigger question. I think Hawkeye is... You can definitely... Look, guys. If there's no Hawkeye in both these movies, and you dusted him off screen, I don't think they would do that to that character. No. I really don't. So I'm sure that he's like, I can get out of this house arrest now at this particular moment.
Yeah.
When half... Oh, no. Oh, God. He's got a lot of kids and a wife.
Yep, he does.
Oh, Hawkeye's going to be pissed. I mean, just by the odds, he lost somebody.
Mm. He probably lost a child.
Jesus, is he the only one who has, like, actual family?
And Ant-Man.
And Ant-Man, right?
That, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Who?
Aunt May?
Aunt May.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man. I'm sorry. I thought you said Iron Man. I'm so sorry.
No, Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's right. Aunt May. Uncle Ben's definitely not there.
No.
It'd
be weird if he showed up all of a sudden. I mean, that's just...
the reverse.
Is that it, though? Is it just those three characters? We don't know outer connections to anyone else. I mean, Cap lost everyone.
So did Thor.
Yeah, Thor lost everyone.
Thor, let's be honest. Thor lost everyone in the past week.
Yeah, like, he's had a rough go.
Had a really bad week.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
And yeah, Scarlet Witch already lost Quicksilver, so...
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Let's go to Scarlet Witch for a second.
Can we go to Scarlet Witch for a second?
Yeah. Did she just stop with the accent?
Yeah, she gave up on it. I noticed that in the first scene. I was like...
Yeah, I did too.
Paprikosh. Like, what's going on with the non-Paprikosh voice right now? I think it was like she lived in America long enough. Look, Scarlett Johansson says, I'm Russian. In this, you know, in the first movie in Avengers, and you're like, but are we? So the idea, you know, like the idea that she doesn't have the accent anymore, I'm totally fine with it.
It's like, you know, she lived with Vision enough that she just adopted his British accent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she just adopted. Yeah, she got out of her accent. I don't know, from living in Europe. I don't know.
Scotland of all places.
Scotland of all places. It looked nice. Looked nice. Yeah, so that's who's left. So I think we have our core. You know, ultimately we have our core remaining, and I really do think that I would love to see if we see the other side of whatever there is in this universe and Doctor Strange doing Doctor Strange things in his
astral plane.
In his astral form, which we saw in this movie for a split second. You see his body in the his astral plane body pop out. But yeah, so there you go, guys. I don't know. What else do you want to talk about? Adam, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about towards, there's so much to talk about. I mean, there is. did you have anything else?
I don't know. I was impressed with, Josh Brolin. I mean, he carried that movie and, you know, I knew pretty much this was going to be a Thanos Quest movie, and they needed a strong Thanos, and they really delivered on that. And I'm kind of not looking forward to his Deadpool 2 role as Cable, because it's like, yeah, but you just did Thanos. It was so good. And I don't know. We'll see.
That's what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah. Next week.
Next week? Wow. Oh, my God. My goodness. Courtney, is there anything you want to talk about further towards, or just like final thoughts on Infinity War?
My final thoughts just are, like, we all know that this is probably going to revolve around the time stone, about, like, reversing all this stuff. So I'm just interested to see how that plays out. I mean, am I wrong in making that assumption?
It's that or the soul stone. I would imagine it's going to be one or the other.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of everything.
I have a clarification, actually, on the time gem is use in this stuff. So is it only, like... the portion of what you want to reverse. So why I'm asking that is when Thanos does the time reversal mm-hmm. on
on Vision, wouldn't it reverse all the other time and then Scarlet Witch would be back hitting him with her beam? Or is it just like, I'm going to reverse time on this element of the universe?
Just that element, because when Doctor Strange was in the first, in his movie, he did that with the apple.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Cord, I think you're right. I think you're half right, at least.
I think it's all going to work in conjunction, because like you said, if the time if the time thing is only working on a certain element, so like, are you then just taking, you can't really focus it on like a person's body because they're dust. So you have to like somehow reverse the entire time of the solar system to kind of get.
There is one moment that you could change something.
Yeah, and that would be the Soul Stone.
Or that would be when young Gamora gets a knife in her hand and she kills Thanos.
Yes, or that, yeah.
So Thanos never ever exists past that moment.
Or do you?
I thought of that. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, because it's kind of anticlimactic, like cinematically. Mm. But like, it's kind of a smart way to do it.
It appears like there's a lot of time jumping coming.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like just from what I stumbled upon stupidly, like not looking for it, found of set photos. There's a lot of time jumping coming.
They're not. I mean, I don't think they would do this. We're not going Ultimate, are we?
I don't think so. What do you mean? It just Ultimate seems like universe. We're going back.
Like where Miles Morales lives. Oh. You know? Yeah. Or not, I guess.
No, I don't think we're doing that. I think if we're doing anything, so for the Doctor Who people out there.
Who that?
Who have seen where Matt Smith really went back through his timeline. In that one season, and he actually showed up multiple times back in his own timeline. Mm-hmm. That is, I think, where we're headed, because from what I've seen, there have been things that have that they have filmed where there are characters and scenes that they were not in that they have now filmed for the next one.
A young Wolverine. It's not. That's not.
So
happening.
I have a Wolverine question. I do have a Wolverine question for anyone who's read the source material.
Yes, sir.
So in the source material, he gets turned into his adamantium gets turned into rubber.
Yeah.
Does is everyone like me feeling like the inclusion of Rubber Band Man, the song for the only song the Guardians had in this one, was that nod to like the Wolverine source material?
That's a deep cut.
Yeah,
that's a deep cut.
I couldn't figure out why else they would have chosen that song unless that was like just like the sure we'll play this. It's kind of a nod
because it's a good fun song.
Oh, you know what else? Damn it! You know what else I thought of? When it happened in the movie, I gasped. When Drax got turned into blocks and Mantis turned into like Ribbon Lady. And I was like, oh my God, he just killed them.
Yeah.
And then they were fine 2 minutes later.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I think that was stuck.
Yeah, that kind of sucked, because that also made me be like, oh, all right. I guess really no one's in danger. Because if they would have kept that, I would have been like, Jesus Christ. But they didn't. And
well,
I didn't
know.
Is that
reality? Like, so he changed their reality.
But then is it just like proximity? I didn't know that was a thing. Because like as soon as he left the room, I guess it was more like a spell. But I don't know. It sort of told me like real early with the fixing of Thor's eye and them having that happen and then like instantaneously, like it really didn't matter. I was like, oh, all right.
Well, the problem is that, you know, the reality gem, we never really got what its power was. So I think this was kind of the way to be like, okay, this is really what the ether does, because that movie was really terrible and telling you about it.
What was the quote that I said from last week? It was like, it turns matter into dark matter. Not, it can turn Mantis into Rubber Lady. Like, that wasn't one of the things.
Is it just an illusion, though?
Like,
I think that kind of seemed like it.
Yeah.
Because he did that. He, like, changed the reality of the collector's thing.
But it was just an illusion.
And then he also changed the reality of, like, oh, this was my home planet, and now it's not.
Was it always that? I feel like I don't remember it just being, like, a parlor trick.
No, they relied on that illusion thing way too much. Yeah. I think it should have stuck when he did to Drax and Mantis. That was... You know, that was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, that was like, my God. I was like, he just stoned him.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yes.
Your final words on. I'm sorry, Courtney. Did you have anything else? I'm sorry. We got into a huge thing there.
No, I was just. My main thing is I'm interested to see which stones come into play. I'm interested in seeing how they reverse or if they reverse some of this stuff. I mean, maybe the decision is. we have to reverse a bunch of stuff in order to reverse any of this stuff. So maybe there's a moral dilemma there. I don't know. I'm not really sure, but I'm just interested to see how the stones are used in the next film.
Ryan, your final thoughts on Infinity War?
I'm glad we're getting back to like the core characters, because there are some things that I want to see out of that. One, I think Cap was woefully underutilized in this one, as was Natasha.
Yeah.
But we only get the tease of it in this one. I want the Banner and Natasha conversation. Like, that has to come forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very tabled.
Yeah.
That was extremely tabled. In a movie that did sort of, you know, go to it. But yeah.
And it was interesting because we were having this discussion, Pete, on the drive home. You know, like, they call it the Avengers Infinity Wars, but you don't really get the Avengers.
Yeah.
And then also, like, Civil War undid the Avengers, and even Tony references, like, oh, there's no Avengers anymore. So it's like,
There's only two Avengers movies out of four.
It's really, really weird.
Yeah. The most Avengers movie is probably Civil War, actually. I always thought that. And I think that's the best Avengers movie still. Even though it's a Captain America movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So for marketing reasons, I'm sure Avengers Infinity War has that. But I don't know. I guess Marvel's Infinity War would not sell as well, I guess.
Yeah, it's name recognition.
Yeah, so. It's just name recognition at that point. But it does give you the wrong impression.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely not an Avengers movie. The next movie, that could be an Avengers movie. I would love... Melissa, oh, I already asked you. Your takeaways? Your final thoughts?
I don't know.
Does anyone remember?
Yes.
Okay.
You got the circuit.
Ah, girl. Please don't reverse this thing 20 minutes into the next film. Let it be a thing that happens for at least the majority of the runtime. Because, man, that would really suck.
Oh, so that was my other question. Like, do we know where Thanos is?
Malibu,
like,
I told you.
Not he is.
Wait a minute. Where did Coulson go?
Tahiti.
He's in Tahiti.
But Tahiti wasn't a real place.
Oh, it is now, baby. He's got the reality gem.
By the way, real fast, because I was taking notes for this. Vormir, where the Soul Stone was.
Yeah.
If you want how we're going to get Skull back, that planet's technically part of the Kree Empire. Ah. So there's that.
Okay.
So is that why Gamora knew where the Soul Stone was?
She found a cloth map and burned it. That was the most D&D shit I've ever heard. I mean, it was good when Iron Man said, like, the wizards are chasing, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that was incredible. But then when
You're
she was like,
embarrassing me in front of the wizards.
But then when she said, I found the map and I burned it, I was like, +5 constitution. It was such a funny moment. I think, I know that's supposed to be a funny moment, but like, I thought of it and I was like, that is so comic book. Like, there's really, that's one of the best things is like, this movie has a lot of moments that you're like, comics, you know, like, just the word should show up on the screen in like massive font. It's like, comics, like, yeah, all right, you know. So
I want to know how Gamora like found
Gamora, because she's smart. I don't really know if it matters. I wonder if they'll get into that. I'm not sure if it matters, the how of it, because she found a map.
But I wonder if there was more to it.
She
one-eyed willies to a treasure, you know.
Well, she was a pirate. Remember, she got Jack's ship after he stole hers. If you remember, a very young Zoe, she still looks young, but Zoe Saldana is in the first Pirates, and she is a pirate, so she found a treasure map.
Oh, okay.
And then she found the Soul Stone.
I forgot what we were
doing. And Josh Brolin is Brandon, so.
Yep. So, all right, guys. Well, hey, that's Avengers Infinity Wars. There's so much to talk about, and I feel that as time goes by and you watch it again, more things will come up. But here's the best part. We only got to wait a year. Like, you know, back when movies were really old, you had to wait like 4 years for a sequel and you never heard anything about it. And, you know, the fact that we're getting, oh, Jesus, we really barely talked about Captain Marvel, but there's not much to talk about. I think it's safe to say she's not on Earth. That looked like a very non-Earth communique. That Fury used at the very end, and Sam Jackson finally got to say what he always wanted to say.
Kind of.
Yeah. We got enough of it.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Hers is in May. No, March.
March.
Her film's in March.
Unless they push that like back up to February or something, because they've been like messing with this.
Yeah, they messed with this one because they wanted to give themselves a couple of weekends without Deadpool taking any box office. I guess it'll have to do with what comes out next year during that time, but other movies might just clear way for the follow-up, whatever it may be called.
Yeah, I think Dark Phoenix got pushed to February, if I'm not mistaken.
Dark Phoenix could be pushed to the moon.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone would notice, unfortunately. Well,
I don't think that's going to be competition for Captain Marvel.
I would be super curious to see if that came out in the summer months when like the bigger movies are coming out. Does anyone go see that movie? That's interesting. That's February?
Yeah, I believe it was summer, but then it got pushed to February with New Mutants also is next year as well.
Sweet Jesus.
So we only have Captain Marvel, right? Till
yep, that's it.
There, there's
no Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. That won't. No, I guess the ending will have an impact to that. I guess the post-credit sequence in Ant-Man might be dustings of characters.
I'm going to say it's going to end with the dustings. I don't think it'll be post-credit. I think the post-credit might even be Hawkeye.
I'd be okay with that.
Post-credit scene, this one was going to be Hawkeye. So.
Yeah, just playing Pong at home, and then his wife, Linda Cardellini, just falls into dust, and he just keeps playing Pong. He never misses, though. All right, guys, that is our episode for this week. I hope you enjoyed that. There was a lot to talk about. We covered a lot of ground, but I hope overall you enjoyed that good stuff. And what are we doing next week? We know this, don't we?
We do.
We do. What is it? I don't have it open.
Is it Peach Dragon?
Is it back to the park stuff?
I think we're doing some park stuff.
Is it IPs in the studios things?
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't say anything unless we know what it is.
We do know. Yeah, hang on. Well, look, we've given you we're giving them previews for some point. We're going to do that.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, bring hang it up. On, so let me we look. Can.
I got. I'm pulling up the calendar.
Oh, so how's everyone's weekend going to be? What do you guys? Well, actually, how was your weekend? Because it's like late, right?
It is Peach Dragon.
It is Peach Dragon, right? Okay, cool. So that'll be our live thread as well. We'll be Peach Dragon for the Patreon members. And of course, you can join us on those if you become a production assistant over at the Patreon page. And actually, Melissa, don't you have a review?
I do. I have a review from Daily Disney Listener 1087. My morning pick-me-up. Thank you for all your dedication and knowledge of Disney magic. This show pulls me from reality daily as I get ready for the rest of my day. My favorite episodes are the special events, food talk, and brackets. I have recently caught up on new episodes and have been reminiscing on older adventures, which are just as entertaining. Thanks again and keep up the good work. Can't wait to visit again.
Thank you so much. Yay! Thank you, guys. It's much appreciated, your reviews. We really do love that. All right, guys. We ready to say goodbye for this week?
Yes.
Okay. You're all turned to dust. No. So, guess what? This episode of Disney Magic Hour has been brought to you by MEI Travel for all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, traveling anywhere around the galaxy. Visit the experts over at meitravel.com, where Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. Right now, you're listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/PogoMix, his website, PogoMix.net. We are LastGenPodcast.com, LASTGEN podcast. On Twitter, we're at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's DIS Magic Hour Pod. Facebook, Disney Magic Hour. Search for it, add yourself to the group. If you're already in there, add your friends. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher to listen to the show. And Melissa, I spoke about Patreon before, but where can people find that and the Instagram?
On Instagram, we're at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And if you head over to patreon.com/DisneyMagicHour, you can find ways to support the show there. And just want to thank all of our Patreon members that you've already been subscribing, joining us on the live feeds, watching the movies. We were having a lot of fun. So thank you guys so much for keeping us up and running.
Ryan, where can everyone find you in the Main Street Gazette?
We're at mainstgazette.com, mainstgazette on Instagram and Twitter. And if you search Main Street Gazette, you can find the page on Facebook.
Courtney, where can everyone find the DMH Book Club and join you guys along in reading the latest novels.
You can find us on Facebook, search for DMH Book Club, and we're just about to finish up Peter Pan, and we're going to start a new series pretty soon, so join us.
Cool. Adam, where can everyone find you lurking about?
Oh, you can find me over at the Film Basement and the Disney Magic Hour groups.
All right, guys, it's the end of the show. Dread it. Run from it. Destiny still arrives.